Well, we'll spend some time in God's Word. We're continuing on our little series of manifesting God's power. And last week, we went over manifestations, the revelation manifestations, in light of God's great love for us and His protection. You know, it does talk a lot in God's Word how God loves us so much. And because of that love, there's a natural tendency to want to protect what you love. Those of us who are parents, we know that we want to protect our kids because we love them. Well, God's no exception. He's actually he's the rule. And there is a devil, as we know, and he hates God, but he can't beat up God, but he can beat up God's kids if they don't understand the motives and methods of the devil. So God endeavors to protect us from the devil's nastiness. And one way he does that is by way of revelation. He'll give us information at times that will just keep us from harm's way. And we saw a number of those records last week. Well, today we're going to get into how to receive God's Word. We saw the prophet of God's Word, some of the prophet of God's Word in the past number of weeks. Now we're going to go into how to actually receive revelation. How does God do it? He wants to give us information. It's our job to have, be ready to receive. If God's going to give us information, we should be in our lives at a point where we're ready to receive. We have a receiver on, so to speak. Like in the radio world, there are waves, radio waves going in the air all the time. But if you don't have a radio receiver on, you won't hear what's going on those waves. Well, God at times gives us information, and we should be in a position where we're ready to receive from Him. It's our job. Now, in order to do that, we need to understand, well, how does God communicate? You know, how does He talk to us? How does He give us information? And in order to understand that, we got to look at how do we receive information in the senses realm. How do we receive information in the senses realm? Well, we hear information, we see information, we smell information, we taste information, and we feel information. Right? That's how we learn. That's how all the knowledge that we have is learned, through those five senses or a combination thereof. Now, I'd like to have a volunteer. And if I could have Connie. Connie's going to illustrate to us how we gather information by way of the five senses. So, Connie, if you stand over here.
I might get a look.
Right here. You can face everybody. And I'm going to have to move your pocketbook over to the other side.
That's one of the ways he receives information.
So, we receive information by way of the five senses, right? And underneath here, I have a few goodies. And we're going to start, and what you're going to do is, by using your senses, you're going to tell us what the item or article is that I have.
Okay.
So you're going to do some gathering of information. And knowing you, you'll probably get them all right.
Do I have to close my eyes?
Well, you will, but the first one is we're going to use sight. She's going to gather information by way of sight, okay? So, I'm holding in my hand, what?
A Holy Bible.
Holy Bible.
Holy Bible. So it says on the cover.
That's right. So, she was able to figure that out because the eyeballs saw it and gave her information, which came to her mind, and boom, she knew what it was. All right, now, the next thing is we're going to do is you're going to close your eyes. I don't need to use a blindfold on you because if you close them, I'm sure they're closed, right? So
I'm not going to cheat.
Can you see my hand waving in front of you?
Okay,
all right. Now, the next article, you're going to, without looking, I'm holding it in my hands, but I'm not going to allow you to use any other senses. What am I now holding in my hands?
I have no idea.
No idea. See that? None of the senses are involved, and there's no information coming in. Okay, now you can open your eyes. It's the same thing, right? The only difference is the eyes gave information to the mind. The other time, there was nothing to feed on. Oh, okay, now, that's eyes. The next one will be hearing. So, close your eyes, and you're going to hear something, and I want you to tell me what you think it is.
You're snapping your fingers.
Right. Okay. She didn't touch it, she didn't see it, but she heard it, and it was a sound familiar to her. Her brain registered it, that it's snapping fingers. You're correct. Okay. Now, we saw a dog show on Thanksgiving. The TV just happened to be on. It was a dog show. And I noticed, now I'm not going to do this to Connie, but they were constantly showing these dogs, and the owners were constantly feeding the dogs, constantly. You're not going to get any cookies.
Okay.
Eyes are closed. You're going to hold out your hands, and I'm going to place something in your hands. You can do whatever you want as far as touching it. By touch, I want you to figure out basically what it is.
It's a book.
It's a book. All righty. Very good. You got it. It's on the American Revolution. Okay, now, here's another one. I'm going to put it in your hands. And you tell me what you think it is.
It's a cell phone.
Cell phone.
Or she's it could pretty... be an iPod, you know.
You were right the first time. She's pretty good.
Give her a treat.
Now, this, I'm going to hold this thing in front of you, and then you're going to put your hand in. It's a container, and there's something in the container, and I want you to tell me what you think it is.
It's not a mousetrap.
Okay. You're going to go down a little lower.
Oh, okay.
What do you think it is?
Cold water.
Cold water, right. Very good. No tissue. Okay, now we're going to move to... We're going to move to smells. Now, this is... I'd have to bring Rube up here for Okay, this is a smell. I'm going to just wave it in front of your nose. You tell me what you think it is. It's a food.
Put it in your mouth.
That's a completely
very
different scent.
Whatever it is,
I'll
it smells fruity.
I'm surprised.
Okay,
you can touch it. I'm going to put your hand. You can touch it. Now you can squeeze it.
Oh, it's a banana.
All right. I didn't want you to open your eyes. That would be too easy. Okay, now the next one is a smell. And I'm going to put this under your nose. And you tell me what you think this is.
Peanut butter.
Peanut butter, right. Skippy. All righty. Now, the senses gathers the information by way of data that the brain has been exposed to before, and you come to a conclusion where you know something. Okay, and the last one is going to be taste, and I hope you like this. Now, it's in a spoon or on a spoon.
I did the wrong idea.
And that's what it is. And it is an edible item.
It's delicious.
And I'm gonna put the spoon in your hand, and you put it in your mouth because you may feel more comfortable that way.
It's a grape jam.
Right. She's right. So, by her sense of taste, you can open your eyes. So that's an illustration of the five senses. Gathers information, sends the information to the mind, and then the mind now knows what it is. That's how it works. That's how we get all that we have as far as information in the senses realm. Now, God does the same thing. I think this is pretty clever. He does the same thing with revelation. Revelation is a revealing of information. It's a giving of information. And he does the same thing in with our spirit as we have with our regular body of five senses. So, what happens is we will see it spiritually. We will smell it spiritually, we'll hear it spiritually, we'll taste it spiritually, or we'll touch it spiritually. And the end result is that we will know what God has revealed to us. Now, a few weeks back, we went over what's called the Great Principle. And the Great Principle is, and this is something that we just, as best as possible, just think about a lot through the next couple weeks and figure it out in your own heart and mind how it actually works, because this is the key to receiving revelation. And the great principle is that God, who is spirit, teaches his creation in you, which is now your spirit, and your spirit teaches your mind. Then it becomes manifested in the senses realm as you act. So God, who is spirit, teaches his creation in you, which is the new birth, the spirit of God we got in us. That spirit teaches or communicates or informs or reveals information to our mind. And it does it by way of the five senses. The spirit of God that's in us is in us. And it can give information by way of those five senses. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 3. The spirit in us, there are a number of terms that God uses for this spirit. And one is in Ephesians chapter 3. That spirit of God that was created in us, in Ephesians, is called the inner man. Chapter 3, verse 16. And it says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That inner man is the spirit of God that we have within us. Now, the inner man is not in just one part of our body. Like, it's not just hanging out in your nostril. It's not just in your ear. Or it's not just in your lung cavity. It's throughout our entire body. It's part of us. It's in every nook and cranny of our body. It's in our blood, it's in our bones, it's in our brain, it's in our eyes, it's everywhere. That spirit is everywhere present within us. And it's called the inner man. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Another place it's referred to as the inward man. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. It's referred to as the inward man. And it says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, the outward man is our physical body, it perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The inward man is referring to the Spirit of God that we have with us. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Very familiar verse of Scripture. Colossians chapter 1. And in verse 27, it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Spirit of God that's in us is also referred to as Christ within us. That's literally what we have within us. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. And that Spirit is all over our body, and it's in our mind. And so what it does is it uses the same five senses that we have physically, only in the spirit realm. God, who's spirit, teaches the Spirit of God that's in us, and then that spirit now has the information. Well, in order to get it to your mind, it does it in different ways. Smelling, tasting, touching, that type of thing. So, we're going to go... Where are we going to go? Well, Well, we're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 6 in the Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 6. So this God gives our spirit information. Our spirit communicates to our mind via the five senses. You'll see the revelation. You'll hear the revelation. You'll smell the revelation. You'll taste the revelation. Or you'll touch the revelation. It's information being processed. Just like when Connie went to smell the banana wasn't strong enough to give her a definite information that she knew, so then she had to touch it. Once she touched it, there's enough information there, it went to her brain where she knew what that was. When she smelled the peanut butter, she smelled it, her olfactory senses gave her information to her brain that said, ah, that's peanut butter. So, God does it the same thing. He can show us by way of vision information. He shows it to us in a picture. And what's really wonderful about Revelation is that God gives us information in terms of our understanding, which is really nice. Very kind of him, really. He gives it to us in terms of our understanding. And so for each person, that understanding may be a little bit different. But he'll always communicate to us in terms of our understanding, because he's a personal God. He knows the ins and outs of Chris's brain. Chris might not like that, but God does, Chris does. And God works in his life where Chris understands the information given. Just the way it is. So, which is really convenient. So, let's go to, while you're there, 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to look at an example of where God gave a person a vision where they saw it, and that gave the individual information. So, chapter 6, verse 8. It says, "Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down." Here's an example of God using revelation to protect his people. The Syrian king said, got his counsel together, said, hey, we're going to go down this place and we're going to beat up the Israelites. God said, oh, really? He told his man, the Syrians are going to go over there and they're going to try to beat you guys up. Don't go through here. Then the man of God went to sent that information to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said, oh, okay. God protecting his people by way of revelation. Verse 10, "And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice." So a number of times this man of God got information from God that helped the army of Israel. Verse 11, "Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" You know, I've planned all these things, and each time we're foiled, somebody among us is a tattletale. Verse 12, "And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elijah, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." He's not only telling, not only giving that information, but he's telling you what you talk about in your bedchamber. "And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? So he gets up, he goes outside, he sees all this army out there, and he goes, oh, God, what are we going to do? verse 16, "And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now, can you imagine this servant? It's the servant and Elijah. He looks at Elijah, he looks at himself, he's looking around like, well, where else are all the other people here? Maybe Elijah didn't have his coffee yet. Verse 17. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Now his eyes were open, right? That's how he saw all those army guys out there. These aren't his physical eyes that he's requesting for him to see. Open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. So what happened is God sent angels, a lot of angels, and they were round about Elijah. So when Elijah said, hey, those that be with us are more than those guys, he wasn't lying. What God showed him is, Elijah, you got all these things here. And he asked God to tell the to show the servant, and the servant sees it and sees the same thing. So that's revelation by way of sight, by way of seeing. So until the prayer, that servant had no information coming to him. Once God opened that guy's eyes and showed it to him, boom, there it was. Let's go to the Gospel of John. God can reveal us, reveal information to us by way of sight. Chapter 1. Now this is about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is getting people. He's really picking people to follow him, endeavoring, you know, his witness in the people. And
what book was that one?
Gospel of John. Chapter 1. And in verse 43, it says, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Now how did he know that? Did he guess? Was he trying to compliment him and give him some guess? Well, you look like a nice guy. No. Verse 48, Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? How do you know me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, and thou art the King of Israel. That rocked Nathanael. Nathanael recognized that Jesus was given information by God Almighty. God showed Jesus Nathanael's life, and that he was a man without guile. He was a man that had no bitterness in his soul. Pretty cool. Let's go to Matthew chapter 17. So God can show us by way of sight information. Remember, it's information that's being revealed to us, and the means with which God's using it is sight. Matthew chapter 17. And for us, we use sight all the time. I mean, that's how we gather so much of our information, is sight and hearing. Here's a record where sight is involved and hearing, both of them. And this is chapter 17, verse 1. It says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, that's Elijah, talking with him. So they see Jesus transforming in front of them, and they see Moses come and Elijah, and those two guys are talking to Jesus. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let's make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Now there's these three guys, Peter, James, and John, right? Mm-hmm. This seems so real to them that they want to make these altars. This was pretty real looking. Verse 5, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. This is just one heck of a moment for these guys. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Now, if it was just one guy there, he would say maybe, holy smoke, something's going wrong. I'm seeing things and hearing things. But all three of them saw the same thing, heard the same thing. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Tell the vision. So what they did is that God showed them in like panoramic television, just all with color and with sound. The vision of Jesus transforming in front of them and Elijah and Moses talking to him. Pretty cool. But that's how God chose to communicate to them. And it was for those men to recognize who Jesus Christ was and what was going on. And they weren't to reveal any information until, as it says, until he was risen again from the dead. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Another record where there is sight involved and hearing involved. And God is always the one who chooses how to communicate to an individual. You know, whether it's by way of taste or whether it's by way of sound or, you know, he's the one who chooses. And it's always going to be in terms of our understanding. Chapter 10, verse 9. This is Peter. He was moving among the believers and ministering the word and teaching, and he's at a man's house, Simon the Tanner, at a city called Joppa. It was on the seashore. And he goes up on the housetop to pray. Verse 9, we pick it up. It says, and on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, which is about noontime. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they had made ready, he fell into a trance. Now the word trance there isn't this hooky pook trance. It's a quiet state of tranquility. It's where you're just quiet mentally. You don't have to be in a trance to be quiet mentally. You're not sleeping. You're just quiet on the inside. So he's quiet on the inside. He's praying. Verse 11. He's ready to receive revelation, really, if you think about it, if he's going to get any. And saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God has cleansed, that call thou not common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. He's just praying, minding his own business, quiet, and all of a sudden he sees all these animals come down in this thing like a sheep. And here's a voice. Verse 17, now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean. The word doubted means to consider deeply. It wasn't that he doubted what he saw. He's just trying to figure out what is it that was just revealed to him. He knew who it came from. He said, you know, Lord. He wasn't without understanding of that. He just did not understand what the vision actually meant. Now remember I said that God always communicates to us in terms of our understanding? Well, as the record goes on, the next day he goes to Cornelius's house and he teaches to Gentiles, and it's the first time that the Gentiles are being taught to, and it all comes together. What the animals represented, what God was endeavoring to get Peter to do, and this, even though he didn't understand it at immediate, it all did come together in a short period of time. He considered deeply what that vision, what he saw, meant. So God communicated to him via vision and via these animals. And in that day and time, the Gentiles were considered by the Judeans as unclean. So God used unclean animals as an example for Peter to teach him, I want you to eat an unclean animal. In his mind, no, that's not available. Well, to go to a Gentile household was in the same thing. You just don't go to a Gentile household. And God's endeavoring to communicate, to reveal information to Peter. And he was very successful. Great things happened. Let's go to 1 Samuel, back in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 3. So that's an example of hearing and seeing. We're going to see another one. Chapter 3. This is about the prophet Samuel, but when he was a little fella. When he was a little fella, he was dropped off at the temple and was dedicated to the service of the Lord. And he was under the leadership of a man named Eli, who was a prophet. But Eli was a prophet that wasn't walking the word of God too well. He wasn't doing very much with it. And God wanted to tell Samuel some things, but Samuel didn't understand revelation. He was a young fellow, and he didn't know how God communicated. He didn't understand how God talked. He didn't understand how God gave information. And that's what we're going to look at. In chapter 3, verse 1, it says, And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, for there was no open vision. Eli did not continue to carry forth the word of God accurately, and so the word of God was being closed. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli, and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. So Samuel's laying in his bed, and he hears his name called. He gets up, runs to Eli's bedroom, goes to Eli and says, Here I am, what do you want? And, of course, it wasn't Eli calling. So Eli sends him back to bed. Verse 6, And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Verse 7, Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. It doesn't mean that he didn't know who God was. He was serving God. He was very aware of who God was. He just did not understand how God gave revelation. He didn't understand how God communicated. But that voice had to sound quite real for him to jump out of bed, go run into Eli's room, and respond. It had to sound like a real voice. Verse 8, And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, This is what you do. Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now here's an example of getting yourself ready to receive. This is what you do. If you want to receive from God, go lay down, And when he speaks, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth thee. Verse 10, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. And that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him, he communicated this stuff to Eli, I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. So, pretty neat. Now it calls it here the vision. It doesn't show where he saw anything, but we do know that he heard a lot. And this vision can be referred to as a revelation, as a revealing. And the revealing was by way of sound. The sound went into his ears, but it wasn't a sound, you know, where it was like in the room. He heard it. You know, if you got revelation by sound, like Connie, if Connie got revelation by sound, she could hear from God, and everybody else in this room doesn't hear a thing. That's how it works, because it's done by way of the Spirit on the inside. The Spirit gives the information, sends it through our nervous system, just like regular information, like that, I can feel that. The nervous system sends the information to my brain, and I know that my hand's been slapped. And it's that quick. Now the Spirit of God, being as everywhere, it sends the information right to our brain, boom, we got information. So, it's really wonderful. The first time I ever heard, had revelation by sound, it was right here at this house. I was working, we were building the house, and I was down by the garage door. It was a weekend or something like that, I forget. It was a day, it was daytime. And I was shoveling a whole bunch of dirt right by the garage doors. And I had earlier had dropped off David to go right around the corner. We were building a house, and I dropped him off. He was a little, he's a young kid. I guess he must have been 12 years old. And he was going to sweep up this house. You know, we had just got done trimming. He was going to sweep up the house, clean it up. And I told him I'd be back. So I'm digging away, and all of a sudden I hear David called me, Dad. And so I turned around. I thought maybe he came through the woods instead of me picking him up. I turn around, and I'm looking, and he's not there. It's like, what the hell? Then I realized that David was ready to be picked up. He was going to get nervous if I wasn't there. And God just used his voice, so to speak, in my ear. And then I knew, oh, he's ready to be picked up. But it sounded just like David, like he was 15 feet away. Boom. Same sound. It was a good dub. Good imitation. And that's how I figured it out. That it was David. You know, that he needed to be picked up. But it gave information to me to the end that I knew what to do. God can communicate by way of sound. He can communicate by way of sight. Next week, we're going to get involved with smelling, tasting, and touching. You know, that he can reveal information that way. And the whole deal of it is that so that we know what God's will is. We know what he wants us to know or do or not do, depending on what the circumstance is. But isn't it wonderful? And it all works by that great principle where God teaches his Spirit that's in us. That Spirit communicates to our mind by way of the five senses. It's really, really, really wonderful. And as you look at the scriptures in light of that, you start seeing how God communicates. So, I think that's all we'll do. So, God Almighty, thanks for your wonderful love and for your grace involved with us receiving information from you, and that You continue to teach us and show us so that we can walk victoriously with you day by day by day. And if you have something to show us, we are ready to receive. And we're so grateful for that. And we're grateful for what your Son Jesus Christ accomplished and what we can do with that and live. And thanks for blessing the abundant sharing and for being prosperous and helpful to help move your word in New Jersey or wherever else the need may be. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.